You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Science story, huh?
He's NYU scientist.
I felt right.
I was so
and
happy.
I just thought, well,
I figured it out.
It was that golden moment.
Because science was on my side.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Story Clutter, where true personal stories about science help us to discover how weird and wonderful it is to exist in this world and be a human. I'm your host, Misha Gajewski, and this week our stories are all about the deeply human experience of being embarrassed. Yes, these stories are mortifying, cringy, and oh so relatable. Fair warning, the secondhand embarrassment will be real. Our first story is from Emma Yarbrough. Emma is a storyteller, actor, playwright, arts administrator, and fans of the Story Collider in Atlanta may also recognize her as one of our producers and hosts. Emma's story was recorded at Underground Atlanta in February this year. Her story is all about finding humor in your most vulnerable moments, a deeply powerful skill that I, for one, am envious of.
So, I'm not what you would call lucky in love, but I do try. I try pretty hard. And for the last decade and a half, I've been on and off dating apps regularly. That's right. That's how it feels when you're off the apps. When you let yourself go off the apps, you're just woo, you know? Especially if you're a woman, because they say that the happiest subset of the population is single, childless women. Can confirm, right? And I think one of the reasons is because, you know, we're socialized to be caregivers. And so when we don't have a partner, when we don't have children, all of that care, all of that good energy goes right back to numero uno, right? But the problem is I still want a partner and I want a family. I basically would like to experience every kind of love that life has to offer. And I want to challenge myself in the way that you can only do if you have an intimate relationship with someone else. So after one of these extended breaks from being off the apps, I just turned 33 and I was feeling really good about the future. I was just like, I don't know. This just like feels like my year, you know, like 33. It's your Jesus year. Like, you know, you're gonna be reborn and ascend into heaven and meet your true potential, right? And so thank you. And so I took some cute pictures. I reactivated my dating apps, and the date was late February 2020. Yeah, right. So you guys remember late February 2020. So I'm, you know, similar to love, I'm not exactly the best at timing because then we get walloped by a worldwide pandemic and we all retreat into our caves, especially me, because I take some medicine that makes me immunocompromised. So I was like very isolated. I was not dating. And a year into the pandemic, still isolating, I start to think about my fertility, right? Because, you know, at this point now I'm 34. Ooh, I'm like a year away from the dreaded geriatric pregnancy if I get pregnant. And I don't know when I'm going to be able to date again. And then I don't know when I start dating, when I'm going to meet my person. And then I don't know when we are going to decide that we want to have, like, it's just everything's getting kicked down the road. And so I decide to freeze my eggs. And I go into the process, and it's very, I mean, I don't know how many of y'all know about what this entails, but it's a lot. It's a lot, right? Yeah. And I'm doing it by myself. And there's just like all these different types of hormones. And I mean, at least the one thing I had going for me was that I was going to be completely isolated. So if I just started going crazy with the hormones, it wouldn't affect anybody. But I, you know, you have to do like math about how much medicine you have left. And there's this like very regimented schedule. And I have raging ADHD. So like I've never been great at schedules. But somehow I manage okay. Like, actually, the hormones don't really affect me at all. I feel just fine. I'm able to continue working. I'm not stressed. I'm doing great. And the time comes, we're at the end of the month, and I give myself that final shot to trigger ovulation, and then I head to the hospital for my egg extraction procedure. And there's just one little hiccup, which is that I've started to feel this like burning sensation in a very private area, a very private area. So I think, well, you know, I mean, I might as well, while I'm here, just like ask the nurses if they will ask the doctor while he's down there to like give it a look and see if he sees anything weird. So I go under, the procedure goes really well. I come out and the doctor comes in. He's like, great job. We got buckets of eggs. And I'm just like, oh, great. That's awesome. So did you like, how did it look down there? And he's like, fine. And then I immediately am like, oh no, the nurses did not tell him what I asked them to tell him. And this man thinks I've just asked him to rape my vagina. So I'm sent on my merry way and I go home to recover. And the recovery is not so bad, just some cramping, which I'm a woman, so I'm used to it. But the burning doesn't go away. In fact, it gets worse. It becomes painful. And then I see a blister. And then I see multiple blisters. And I'm a woman of the world. I know what it means when you have blisters on your hoo-ha. You know, like, it's genital herpes. It's genital herpes, which, honestly, no big deal. Everybody has herpes. I'm sure you all have herpes. But I, yeah, right? Let's hear it for herpes. That's right. So, I am upset. You know, I am upset because, like I said, at this point, I had taken a break from dating and then a worldwide pandemic. So, like, at this point, it's an extended drought. And in 3 years, I have had sexual congress one time. And we used protection, and it wasn't even that memorable. And that's how I get genital herpes? Like, this is not fair. And looking back on it, there were all of these omens. Like, the first time he was supposed to come over and hang out, he got mugged on the way to my house. And then the second time he was supposed to come over and hang out, my hot water heater in my kitchen started spurting out a high-pressured mist of hot water everywhere, like the Rainforest Cafe, like the produce section at the grocery store. It's just, but I prevailed. I persisted. And I was disappointed. So I call the gynecologist. I make myself an emergency appointment, and the doctor emerges from between my legs and has this look on her face, and she's like, I don't think this is herpes, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, oh, cool. And so she takes some samples, she leaves to go test them, and I lay there looking up the ceiling, questioning all the decisions that have brought me to this point. And then when she comes back, she's so excited. She's so excited, and she looks at me and she goes, I know what it is. And I've only seen it once before. Which are very comforting words from your 60-something healthcare provider, let me tell you. She looks me in the eyes, and she says, dear, you have shingles on your vulva. I'm sorry, did you hear that? Shingles on my vulva. Oh, so like, why would they be there, right? But the doctor's like, you know, it's probably because you're immunocompromised that you got them. And, you know, I'm thinking like maybe because I've been just like giving so much energy and focus to that area of my body that like that's where they decided to pop up. And, you know, this whole time I've been so proud of myself. I was like, these hormones aren't affecting me at all. I am handling this stress so well. I'm going to get oodles of eggs. And then my body's like, just one second, bitch. So the doctor prescribes antivirals because, by the way, did you know that the virus that causes chickenpox and shingles is a herpes virus? So I was kind of right. It's just like not that herpes virus. And I head home to convalesce for like 2 weeks. It takes a while. It takes a while for shingles to clear, funnily enough. And, you know, like, control is a myth. We really have zero control over our timelines. We have such little control over the outcomes that we're going to have. You know, I have no control over when I'm going to find love. But I am very glad that I did give myself or take a little bit more control, especially considering that as a woman, I'm often losing control over my reproductive rights. I did take advantage of that, and now I have this option. And I'm also glad to know that I can take care of myself through 2 weeks of just like insane pain, like so much pain, like just in my bed by myself, like cry laughing with like an ice pad that they give postnatal women. Like I'm just basically wearing like a cooling diaper, like easy, like just thriving. And I can get through that on my own. And I'm most glad that yesterday afternoon I got in the car and I drove myself to my primary care physician, and a nurse there injected me with the second round of my shingles vaccine. Hey, thank you.
That was Emma. To learn more about her or find out when Atlanta is hosting their next show, visit our website, storyclutter.org. Being a storyteller on our stage is just one way to make Story Collider happen. But we know that can be intimidating and might not speak to you. So maybe becoming a Story Collider donor is more your speed. Story Collider donors play an increasingly important role in our ability to bring you this podcast. We're in this together. Story Collider is one big experiment that's designed to connect us around our love of discovery, curiosity, and the natural world. If you believe in the power these stories have and this mission, please consider donating to the Story Collider at storyclutter.org/donate. The most popular level is $10 a month, and you can make your tax-deductible donation at storyclutter.org/donate. But really, any level makes a difference, and we're so grateful to everyone who supports Story Collider.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our next story is from Carlos Kotkin. Carlos is an author, screenwriter, and humorist. His stories have aired on The Moth, Risk, and KRCW's Unfictional Podcasts, and have been published in The New York Times, Modern Love, Reader's Digest, and Sunset Magazine. He's also published a dating memoir titled Please God, Let It Be Herpes, A Heartfelt Quest for Love and Companionship. Carlos's story was recorded at the Crawford Family Forum in L.A. at a show held in partnership with LAist. It's all about learning to swallow your pride, something we all need to do from time to time.
Okay, so not too long ago, I went to get my yearly physical, went and saw Dr. Kovac, and Dr. Kovac said, everything looks great, everything checks out, except, we found microscopic traces of blood in your urine. So we probably, that's probably nothing, but it might be bladder cancer, so it's probably nothing. But we should figure out what it is, what's going on. So I pee in a bunch more cups for him, and it's the same problem. I go through, I do an MRI, a bunch of tests, and they can't figure out what's happening. So I ultimately end up in the office of a urologist, which was my first urologist, little Carlos is growing up. And so the urologist is named Dr. Ehrlicher. He had a crazy white mane of hair. He looked like a mad scientist. And he told me, Carlos, we're going to have to perform a cystoscopy on you. Have you ever had one done before? And I said, I don't think so. What's a cystoscopy? And he said, oh, it's very simple. All we do is we take a camera, insert it into your penis, send it up the urethra, look around your bladder. It's no big deal. And I said, I've definitely never had that done before. I would remember something like that. And he said, okay, well, it's like I said, it's no big deal. And I performed the cystoscopies on Tuesdays. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Tuesdays are bad because I'm never doing that in my whole life. So Tuesdays aren't going to work. And I left. I didn't make an appointment. I said, it's nice to meet you. And I left. And I went home and I told my wife about the crazy thing that the crazy doctor wanted to do. And my wife said, well, you're doing that because we have a 5-year-old and I need to know if you're dying because I need to make plans. And those were not her specific words, but that was the subtext of what she was saying. She's a planner. And so I very reluctantly called Dr. Ehrlicher's office to make an appointment, and a woman named Linda answered. And I asked Linda, half jokingly, half seriously, if she ever heard patients scream during the procedure. I was seeking comfort. I wanted her to say to me, of course not. No, never. Instead, she said, sometimes. Sometimes. And then she said, but if you can get to your happy place, you'll be fine. And I thought, Linda, I can't get to my happy place if somebody is inserting a camera into my happy place. It's not. So I scheduled the appointment. It was like 2 weeks later. And in those 2 weeks, it was all I could think about. I would try not to think about it, which would make me think about it more. But I would wake up. I would dream about it. I would eat, sleep, breathe the cystoscopy. And it was so much stress and anxiety. And I thought maybe if I know what I'm getting into, it'll calm me down. So I watched some videos. Yeah, that didn't work. And they were animated videos, so, but very different from like Zootopia or Finding Dory. It just amplified the stress. And then finally, 2 weeks later, the day comes and I'm sitting in the lobby. I'm super nervous and I decide I should pee because nobody's told me any details about how this is going to work, but I just assume that it probably might damage the camera if it gets wet. So I'm going to go pee. So I go pee. I come back and this strapping, tall young man introduces himself to me. His name is Ryan. And he says, I'm going to be your nurse today. And before we go back, can you just do me a favor? Can you pee in this cup? And I said, Ryan, I just did that. I just peed. And suddenly Ryan turned into the Salvation Army. He said, well, whatever you could give would be a huge help. And so I go back to the bathroom thinking that I'm only going to get like a few drops out. And I'm so nervous that I guess I'm not in tune with my body. I don't realize what's going on because I start peeing and peeing and peeing and peeing. And I'm filling up the cup and I'm not standing in front of the toilet. And I'm looking at it and thinking, well, I'm gonna fill this. And then I do fill it. And instead of taking two steps over to the toilet, I just move the cup away. And I just start peeing on the floor like a maniac, like I'm trying to put out a fire. And so then I took the paper towels, it's really detailed. And I cleaned up. I was in there way longer than I should have been. And then I come out and I give my cup to Ryan, who was really proud of me. And we head down to the room where we're going to do this thing. And as we're walking down the corridor, I say to Ryan, I have to tell you, I'm not looking forward to this. And again, I'm seeking comfort. I want Ryan to say, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You're going to be totally fine. Ryan says to me, yeah, I don't blame you. And so we go in the room and I have to change into that stupid gown where your butt is hanging out. And I lie down on the table, the exam table, and Brian super casually he says, "Okay, Carlos, I'm gonna wash your penis now." And I said, "Oh, that's okay. I appreciate it, but I took a shower. That's fine." And he said, "No, I have to. It's part of the procedure." And so I'm staring up at the ceiling. And Brian is washing me. Ryan is washing me, and this is my story about science. and as he's washing me, after a few moments, I'm staring at the ceiling, and I think to myself, you know, under different circumstances, this wouldn't be so bad. So he finishes. He's standing next to me, and Dr. Ehrlicher comes in. And he looks at me, naked from the waist down. He looks at Ryan, and he says, "What is going on here?" And I immediately think, oh my God, Ryan doesn't really work here. This is just a guy dressed like a nurse, just killing time. And then Dr. Ehrlicher and Ryan look at each other and they just start laughing. Ah, we got him. So they're telling jokes. They're having fun at my expense at the cystoscopy. So that was nice. That was helpful. And it's good to laugh. It's good to laugh, right? I wasn't laughing, but at least they were. So that was nice for them. And then Dr. Ehrlicher approaches. And he says, "Okay, here we go, Carlos. This is happening. This is going to happen. Take a deep breath. And gentlemen, if you've never had a camera inserted into your penis, I can tell you exactly what it feels like. It feels like a camera is being inserted into your penis, and it is not pleasant. I do not recommend it. And at one point it hurt so much that I yelped, and I've never yelped before in my life, but I yelped. And that's when Brian put his hand on my thigh, and the warm palm of his hand instantly soothed me. And then it was over just like that. Dr. Ehrlicher says to me, okay, you're fine. No problem. And I said, well, what about the blood and the urine and all that? And he said, yeah, it's just one of those things. You're fine. I've seen 1,000 penises like yours. and he walks out, and I get up, I sit up, and Brian is still there. And I thank him for helping me get through things. And I say to him, hopefully I'll never see you again. And he smiled and he said, yeah, at least not here, right? And I said, no, I don't want to see you anywhere. I don't want to be at the grocery store with my wife and like, oh, honey, this is Ryan. He washed me. I don't want to do that. What I got from that experience was just thinking about the 2 weeks of stress and anxiety and just torturing myself. That was so much worse than the 2 minutes of the actual procedure. I punished myself way more than Dr. Ehrlicher did. So that was a valuable lesson that I'm sure I didn't learn. Next time I face stress, I'll forget all about it, but I'll try to keep that in mind. As a postscript, I haven't seen Ryan since. I do still think about him from time to time. I'll say, just like in the movie Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, they'll always have Paris. Ryan and I will always have the cystoscopy. Thank you.
That was Carlos. If you'd like to learn more about him, you can visit our website, storyclatter.org. Our website is just one way to connect with us, but there are so many other ways, and we hope you'll use all of them. You can always follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Head to storyclatter.org to become a financial supporter. Or if you want to come to a recording session of one of our shows or want to start your own Story Collider show in your community, you can learn all about that on our website too. The Story Collider is very grateful for the support of Science Sandbox, a Simons Foundation initiative dedicated to engaging everyone with the process of science. This podcast is produced by me, Misha Gajewski, along with Nikisha Roberts-Washington, Jen Chen, and Aaron Barker, executive director and co-founder of The Story Collider. The stories featured in today's episode were produced by Kelly Vinyl, Brian Kett, and Leslie Burnson. Special thanks goes out to the Story Collider's board and staff, including Anne-Marie Lonsdale, Leslie Burnson, and Lindsay Cooper. Our theme music is by Ghost, and next week I'll be back with stories about getting a second chance to set things right. Until next time, thanks so much for listening.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.